Thank you.
Thank you, Sukun. I think I need to raise the microphone a little bit. Thank you so much, Bunsang, for translating for me. I want to acknowledge we have some guests from India who are here doing evangelism. Actually, we didn't share our faith with them. They shared their faith with us today in the restaurant. From Rajasthan and Maja. Yes. So anyway, I have 2 nights to cover the entire book of Hebrews. So that's only 10 minutes per chapter. So we better get started. So let's talk about the book of Hebrews a little bit. The audience of the book of Hebrews is Christians who've been around for a while. They've done great things. In Hebrews 10:32, he says, remember the earlier days. And they had persecutions and many victories. But they'd have been in Christ for maybe 20 years. And they were getting a little bit tired. And they wonder, can we make it to the end? I think men here tonight might fall into that category. The purpose of the book of Hebrews was to give heart to the Christians, to help them to make it to heaven. Now, the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is amazing. When I teach on the book of Hebrews, I run out of words. I run out of words. Amazing. Spectacular. Awesome. Great. He ran out of words already in Thai. And so the book of Hebrews talks about how great Jesus is. And he compares Jesus to the Old Testament. In Hebrews 8:13, he's talking about the Old Covenant. He says it's old. It's fading. And it will soon disappear altogether. In fact, the book of Hebrews was written probably only a couple of years before Jerusalem was destroyed. And the temple was burned down by Titus, the Roman general. So we're going to talk about how amazing Jesus is. So the outline of the book is like this. Jesus is amazing in this way. Therefore, this is what you should do to stay faithful. But it all focuses on Jesus. For example, in the outline, first it says Jesus is greater than the angels. And he says, therefore, let us pay attention. Then he says, Jesus is greater than Moses. And he says, let us move on to maturity. And he says, Jesus is greater than the high priest. His covenant is greater than the old covenant. The tabernacle he lives in is greater than the earthly tabernacle. His sacrifices are greater than the sacrifice of the old covenant. And he says, therefore, let us live by faith. So that's the outline of the book. Now I'm going to be covering a lot of material and skipping a lot. I had a 60-page outline for a 10-hour class. And I cut it down to 24 pages in 2 hours. So I hope Boonsong is ready to go. So let's get into Hebrews chapter 1. It sets the tone for the whole book. We'll read verse 1 through 4.
ในโบราณกาลพระเจ้าได้ตรัสด้วยวิธีต่างๆมากมายแก่บรรพบุรุษของเราทั้งพวกผู้เผยพระชนะแต่ในเวลาสุดท้ายนี้พระองค์ได้ตรัสแก่เราทั้งหลายทางพระบุตรผู้ซึ่งพระองค์ได้ทรงตั้งให้เป็นผู้รับสรรพสิ่งทั้งปวงเป็นมรดกพระองค์ได้ทรงสร้างกระปาจักรวาลโดยพระบุตรพระบุตรทรงเป็นแสงสะท้อนพระสิริของพระเจ้าและทรงมีสภาวะเป็นพิมพ์เดียวกันกับพระองค์และทรงประดุจโลกไว้ด้วยพระดำรัสอันทรงฤทธิ์ของพระองค์เมื่อพระองค์ได้ทรงชำระบาปแล้วก็ได้ประทับณเบื้องขวาของพระเจ้าเบื้องบนพระองค์ทรงยิ่งใหญ่เหนือเราผู้สวรรค์มากนะด้วยว่าองค์ทรงพระนามที่ประเสริฐกว่านามของผู้สวรรค
์ So he says Jesus is amazing.
พระเยซูคริสต์ยอดเยี่ยม
This is a beautiful Greek literature here.
ก็คือว่านี่เป็นแบบเป็นเหมือนกับ
And he's
ที่ยอดสวยงาม
What he's saying here is Jesus is greater than all the prophets.
ก็คือว่าพูดถึงว่าพระเยซูนั้นยอดเยี่ยมกว่าแบบผู้เผยพระชนะใดๆ
All who spoke to God's people before were nothing compared to Jesus. He says, in the past, God spoke to us in many ways through many different people. God spoke to them through history, poetry, prophecy, proverbs. He spoke to them through kings. Patriarchs, good job, poets, scribes, priests, and even prophetesses, and government administrators. All had a different message. Oh, Hosea spoke about the grace of God. Amos talked about social justice. Isaiah talked about the holiness of God. David revealed the heart of God. Joel talked about God's judgment. But Jesus is all those things. He brings them all together. They revealed God. But Jesus was God. He was the direct revelation of God. He's much greater than all the prophets. He says, Jesus will inherit everything. The universe was made through him. He's the radiance of God's glory. When you see Jesus, you see God. It's amazing. He says he's the image of God. It's like a wax seal. He represents God exactly in his nature. He holds everything together. If Jesus stopped working, the universe would fall apart in one instant. And he provides purification for sins. And he represents us to God. Jesus is truly amazing. So you know what we need to do? We need to look at Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to make it to the end. I want to make it to heaven. How are we going to do that? Fix our eyes on Jesus. He says it again in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the beginning and the end of your faith. So that's the first thing that's great about Jesus. Now we won't read the whole section, but next he says, Jesus is greater than the angels. And you know, we agree with that, he's greater than the angels. And the angels are messengers. In fact, the word angel means messenger. But Jesus is much greater than the angels. The angels are messengers. But Jesus is the message. He says, Jesus has a much greater name than all the angels. There's Gabriel. There's Michael. But Jesus has a greater name. His name is the Son of God. Angels change. They're temporary. But he says Jesus is unchanging and eternal. He says angels are ministering spirits. But Jesus is the one they minister to. He says, don't look at the angels. Look at Jesus, who's much greater than all the angels. See, we're already through chapter 1. I told you we're going to go very fast. So Jesus is much greater than all the prophets. Take all the prophets combined into one. And Jesus is much greater than all of them. The angels are like dust compared to Jesus. So now he gives us our first encouragement. There are going to be four encouragements. The first encouragement is this. You need to pay attention. Did your parents ever say that to you? Did your teacher ever say that to you? Says, you need to pay attention. Now, when did they tell you that? When you weren't paying attention. If you want to make it to heaven, you better pay attention. The Greek word, prosechion. I don't know how to speak Greek. It's a term from about ships. It's like when you tie the rope to the pier. So what do we tie our attention to? Wait a minute, are you paying attention? So what do we tie our rope to? to Jesus. That's the message of the whole book of Hebrews. So you better pay attention. So next time I ask you a question, you know the answer, okay?
Yeah.
See, he says, if you don't pay attention to Jesus, you're going to drift. Again, he uses a term from ships and sailing. It's like in a river. If you don't tie to the wharf, then you'll drift away from Jesus. You could be drifting away from Jesus and not even know it. Because the world is moving away from Jesus. And he says the Jews had to pay careful attention. If they did not obey the law, there were judgment came on them. And he said, if the Jews had to pay attention, then we need to pay very careful attention. Because the Jews had a message delivered to them by angels. But our message was delivered by Jesus. The one who's much greater than the angels. Who's much greater than all the prophets. So, do you want to make it to heaven? I hope so. You need to fix your eyes on Jesus. You need to pay attention to the gospel. Don't get distracted. Don't get pulled aside by the world. And he says, don't ignore such great a salvation. Let's read verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. Yeah. Actually, let's read verses 1 through 3.
เพราะฉะนั้นเราต้องสนใจในข้อความเหล่านั้นที่เราได้ยินได้ฟังให้มากยิ่งขึ้นเพราะมิฉะนั้นเราจะห่างไกลไปจากข้อความเหล่านั้นด้วยว่าเมื่อพระดำรัสซึ่งผู้สวรรค์ได้กล่าวไว้นั้นปรากฏเป็นจริงและการล่วงละเมิดกับการไม่เชื่อฟังทุกอย่างได้รับผลตอบสนองตามความยุติธรรมแล้วดังนั้นถ้าเราละเลยความรอดอันยิ่งใหญ่แล้วเราจะรอดพ้นไปอย่างไรได้ความรอดนั้นได้เริ่มขึ้นโดยการประกาศขององค์ผู้เป็นเจ้าเองและบรรดาผู้ที่ได้ยินพระองค์ก็ได้รับรองแก่เราว่าเป็นความจริง
So he says, do not ignore such a great salvation.
ก็คือว่าอย่าเพิกเฉยความรอดที่ยิ่งใหญ
่ We need to remember our salvation.
เราต้องจดจำความรอดของเรา
We need to contemplate the fact that we're saved by Jesus.
ก็คือว่าเราต้องเข้าใจว่าเรารอดโดยพระเยซูคริสต
์ He says, don't ignore it.
อย่าเพิกเฉย
And maybe some of us have been ignoring our salvation. Taking it for granted. Maybe we have our quiet time, but we don't really put our heart into it. But he says, do not do that. Because if we do, we will not escape. Our salvation is not assured until the day we die. But the book of Hebrews was written so you could be confident in your salvation. Now the next section, verses 5 through 9, it's a little hard to explain. Verse 5 through 9, we won't read it, but it's a little hard to explain. It says, he made him a little lower than the angels. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus was obviously much greater than the angels. But he came down in a physical body. And he allowed himself to be less than the angels. Why? so that we could see God.
เพื่ออะไรเพื่อให้เรานั้นได้เห็นพระเจ้า
so that we could pay attention to him
เพื่อให้เรานั้นที่จะเอาใจใส่
so that he could be a priest
ก็คือว่าเพื่อที่จะเป็นแบบปุโรหิต
because what is a priest
แล้วปุโรหิตคือปุโรหิต
in Latin the word is pontifex
pontifex
it means a bridge
แปลสะพาน
a priest is a bridge
ก็คือว่าปุโรหิตเปรียบเสมือนสะพาน
it makes a connection
ก็คือว่าช่วยเชื่อมต่อ
between God and man
เพื่อระหว่างมนุษย์กับพระเจ้า
So he's going to tell us why Jesus is a great priest.
ก็คือว่าทำไมพูดถึงว่าพระเยซูคริสต์นั้นเป็นปุโรหิต
And the reason he is an amazing priest.
เหตุผลที่พระองค์นั้นเป็นปุโรหิตที่น่าทึ่ง
is because he understands God perfectly.
ก็คือว่า
understands God perfectly.
เพราะพระองค์นั้นเข้าใจพระเจ้าอย่างสมบูรณ์แบบ
Obviously because he's God.
แต่ไม่ครับแต่ว่าพระองค์แท้ที่จริงแล้วพระองค์ก็เป็นพระเจ้า
But he also understandsUs perfectly. Because he became just like us. He is the perfect priest. And verse 10 through 18, he says, He suffered in every way just as we suffer. He says, we're of the same family.He shared our humanity. He became a slave, so we no longer have to be slaves. In verse 16, he says, Because he is just like us. He's the perfect and merciful high priest.Jesus is not in some air-conditioned office. He's not looking down on us, feeling pity for us. He was God in heaven. But he became lower than the angels. He was born as a baby. God wore diapers. He ate breakfast. He suffered in every way just like we did. Jesus is amazing. What a great Savior we have.Let's read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10.
ในการที่พระเจ้าทรงนำบุตรมากหลายไปสู่ศักดิ์ศรีก็เป็นการเหมาะสมแล้วที่พระเจ้าผู้ซึ่งทุกสิ่งดำรงอยู่โดยพระองค์และเพื่อพระองค์จะทรงให้ผู้เบิกทางความรอดให้เขาเหล่านั้นพร้อมที่จะทรงดำเนินงานนี้โดยทรงให้รับความทรมาน
It says here
พระพี่กล่าวว่า
that Jesus is the author
ก็คือพี่นั้นเป็นผู้เขียนและผู้ลิขิต
This Greek word is hard to translate
เป็นภาษากรีกแล้วก็ยากที่จะให้นิยาม
It's like a pioneer
เป็นเหมือนความผู้บุกเบิก
He's the one who goes before
ก็คือว่าผู้เป็น
In Hebrews 12, verse 2,
บทที่ 12, ข้อ 2,
he says he's the author and the perfecter
ก็คือว่าเป็นผู้ที่สมบูรณ์แบบเป็นผู้ที่ลิขิต
of our faith
ของความเชื่อของเรา
he's the beginning of our faith
โอ้เป็นผู้ลิเริ่มความเชื่อของเรา
and he's the end of our faith
แล้วโอ้เป็นผู้ท้ายของความเช
ื่อ the word perfect
คำหมายก็คือความสมบูรณ
์ it's the Greek word teleon
Teleon ในภาษากรีก
which means complete
ก็คือว่าสมบูรณ์นั่นเอง
perfect
สมบูรณ์แบบ
mature
เป็นผู้ใหญ
่ Jesus is the beginning of our faith
พระองค์เป็นนั้นเป็นผู้เริ่มต้นของความเชื่อ
He's the one who showed the way into heaven
พระองค์นั้นแสดงหนทางการที่ไปสวรรค
์ He started everything
พระองค์นั้นเป็นผู้ที่เริ่มทุกอย่าง
and he ended everything
และพระองค์นั้นเป็นผู้สำเร็จทุกอย่าง
Jesus became human
พระองค์นั้นเป็นสภาพกลายเป็นสภาพมนุษย
์ so he could blaze the trail begin the trail show the path for us to go into the presence of God Everything depends on Jesus. Nothing depends on us. Or then he has another, Jesus is great. Jesus is greater than all the prophets. He's greater than the angels. They're just messengers. But he's the message. So he says, pay attention to the message. Then he says, Jesus is greater than Moses. Now we're in Hebrews chapter 3. Now saying to a Jew that Jesus is greater than Moses. Now that's going to start a fight. You're telling me Jesus is greater than Moses? Moses was the most humble of all men. Moses saved us from slavery. He gave us the law. Oh, Jesus is so much greater than Moses. He says Moses was a servant in God's house. But Jesus owns the house. He says Moses was faithful of all in God's house. But Jesus is faithful over God's house. He said Moses gave the law. But Jesus is the law. He said, Moses gave them bread. But Jesus is the bread. Stop looking at Moses. Look at Jesus. But you know, when you look at Moses, you're really just looking at Jesus. It's true in so many ways. Moses, when he was a baby, he was born as a slave. But a powerful king wanted to kill him because he was jealous. Well, that's just like Jesus. When he was born, he was born like a slave. And there was a powerful king who wanted to kill him. Moses was called out of Egypt. And Jesus was called out of Egypt. Moses was in the king's house. And he came and lived like a slave among the slaves. Jesus was at the right hand of God. And he came to live amongst the slaves to save the slaves. But before Moses could go out for his ministry, he had to prepare for 40 years. In the desert. And Jesus, before he started his ministry, he went out into the desert for 40 days instead of 40 years. Moses led Egypt, Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Jesus leads us slaves out of slavery as well. Moses had Aaron to prepare the way. Jesus had John the Baptist to prepare the way. Moses gave them bread. Jesus is the bread. Moses gave them water. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, which is like water that springs up for eternal life. God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. God spoke to Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. So Moses and Jesus, they're very similar, aren't they? But Jesus is greater than Moses in every single way. So he's going to give us our second encouragement. So now we're in Hebrews chapter 3. He says, make every effort. Jesus is amazing. He's greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels. Therefore, pay attention. He's greater than Moses. So he says, you need to make every effort. Are you going to make it into heaven if you just sort of, try to get by? Are you going to make it into heaven by just hoping you make it? He says, no, don't be like the Jews. He gives the illustration of the Jews. They left slavery. He uses this as a symbol. Because the Jews left slavery in Egypt. Just like we left slavery to sin. They followed Moses out of Egypt. We followed Jesus out of Egypt. But he gives them a very strong warning. Because they wander in the desert, where God was trying to teach them to obey Him, to pay attention to Him, to rely on Him. And then the goal was for them to enter the Promised Land. Do you see the analogy here? They're in Egypt, that's us before we were baptized. They went through the Red Sea like us when we got baptized. They wandered in the wilderness. They wandered around in the desert. That's what we are right now. We haven't made it to the Promised Land yet. But he says, let me tell you how to make it to the Promised Land. He says, think about the Jews. Their bodies were scattered across the desert. He says, they did not enter the Promised Land. Why? Because of unbelief. He says, disobedience is the same as unbelief. He says, don't be like them. He says, you need to make every effort. Now, is this talking about being saved by works? No! We're already saved. Our works aren't going to save us. But you know, we need to make every effort. Are you making every effort to stay faithful to God? And like I said, he says, think about their bodies scattered across the desert. That's a warning for us. Don't be like them. He says, right now, we have no rest. Like Sukun said, no rest. I stayed up for 30 hours traveling. And I got here, no rest. Because I want to preach the gospel. You know, we have a rest. It's in heaven. When we get to heaven, it's going to be like, but right now, no rest. We need to keep walking. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to pay attention. He says, we have a Sabbath rest. It's going to be with God. Read this whole section. Everything I'm saying comes straight out of this section in Hebrews 3 and 4. Are you tempted to rest? Are you tempted to say, oh, I've been doing too much? I've been serving for too long. I'm going to be in children's ministry again? When do I get to stop serving? I need to have a quiet time again? I've had 3,000 quiet times. Isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. We're not talking about being saved. We're talking about staying saved. What's at stake? Everything. In chapter 3, verse 11, he says, they will never enter my rest. Let's read chapter 3, verse
14.
He says, we've come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end. But what if we don't hold firmly till the end? But what if we don't hold firmly to the end? Then we won't share in Christ. Now, maybe you think the book of Hebrews is written to scare you. That's not it at all. It's written to give you confidence. Because if you take the advice of the writer of Hebrews, you will surely make it. So it says, make every effort to enter. How are we going to make it? Chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. By encouraging one another. By calling each other alongside. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. By letting the Word of God do its work. It's like a sword. And it pierces to the heart. We need each other. We need the Scriptures. Alright, now we're in the last part of chapter 4. We're making very good progress here. He says, Jesus is a great high priest. In some ways, he's repeating what he said in chapter 2. In verse 15 of chapter 4, he says, he can relate to us. He can communicate with us to God. He's like a priest. Priests offer gifts and sacrifices. If you look in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 1 through 6, there were gifts that the priest offered. Like the fellowship offering. And the grain offering. And the burnt offering. And there were sacrifices. Like the sin offering. And the guilt offering. And Jesus makes gifts for us. And he makes sacrifices for us. He says, he was like priest, he was selected from among men. In chapter 5, verse 1, let's read that. Chapter 5, verse 1. And verse 2 also. There's a wonderful word here. You can see the Greek word on the screen there. I could try to pronounce it, but I'm sure it'd be a terrible pronunciation. It means sympathy. Compassion. Jesus is an amazing priest. He understands us better than any priest. He is gentle. He can deal with us gently. He understands our weaknesses. He was tempted, like it says in chapter 4, verse 15, every way as we were. But he's the beginning and ending of our faith. Because he never sinned. So Jesus is like the high priest. Just like he's like Moses. But Jesus is so much greater than the high priest. Just like he's greater than Moses. Because the priests serve in an earthly temple. But Jesus serves in a heavenly temple. The priests were tempted. And they sinned. Jesus was tempted. And he never sinned. The priest had to make offering again and again and again and again. It never ended. But Jesus made an offering. Once. An eternal offering. It says in chapter 5, verse 6, he's a priest forever. In fact, he's a priest not like Aaron. No, he's a priest like Melchizedek. Now it's going to get really deep here. When he starts talking about Melchizedek, that's deep stuff. He says, I want to talk about Melchizedek. But before I do, I need to give you the third encouragement. So now we're in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read verse 11 through 14. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14.
รื่องเกี่ยวกับมหาปุโรหิตนั้นมีมากและยากที่จะอธิบายให้เข้าใจได้เพราะว่าท่านทั้งหลายกลายเป็นคนหูตึงเสียแล้วถึงแม้ว่าขณะนี้ท่านทั้งหลายควรจะเป็นครูได้แล้วแต่ท่านก็ต้องให้คนอื่นสอนท่านอีกในเรื่องหลักธรรมเบื้องต้นแห่งพระวจนะของพระเจ้าท่านทั้งหลายต้องกินน้ำนมไม่ใช่อาหารแข็งเพราะว่าทุกคนที่ยังกินน้ำนมนั้นยังไม่เข้าใจในเรื่องความชอบธรรมเพราะเขายังเป็นผู้เยาว
์ So the writer of Hebrews gives us four pieces of advice to make it to heaven.
ผู้เขียนนั้นให้กำลังใจ4ข้อกับเราเพื่อที่ให้เรานั้นมั่นใจว่าไปสวรรค
์ The first one is to pay attention.
อย่างแรกพูดถึงว่าให้เอาใจใส่
Focus on Jesus. Don't get distracted by the world. Number two, don't get lazy. Don't sit back. Keep walking. Make every effort. The third encouragement, you need to grow up. Did anybody ever say that to you?
มีใครพูดอย่างนั้นกับคุณไหม
Did your parents ever say that to you?
พ่อแม่คุณเคยพูดอย่างนี้กับคุณไหม
He says no. They never. You were grown up the whole time, huh? You're mature when you're 5 years old.
แน่ใจว่าพ่อแม่ไม่เคยพูดเรื่องนี้โตขึ้น
I think we got a pride problem back there.
เรามีปัญหาความมีกันตรงนั้น
Anyway, when your parents say to you, "Grow up,"
ถ้าบอกพ่อแม่บอกว่าโตขึ้นได้แล้ว
That's not a compliment.
นั่นคือไม่ใช่แบบคำชมนะ
Some of us have stopped growing spiritually.
บางคนพวกเรานั่งอยู่ที่นี่หยุดในการที่เติบโตฝ่ายจิตวิญญาณ
That's very dangerous.
นั่นเป็นจุดที่อันตรายมาก
You need to keep growing.
คุณต้องเติบโตขึ้นเสม
อ I tell you, I understand God more now than I did a year ago.
ผมบอกให้ผมเติบโตเข้าใจพระเจ้ามากกว่าปีที่ผ่านมา
A lot more. And I'm making every effort. We need to be like that. He says we need to move on to maturity. We need to practice righteousness. We need to be mature in our understanding of the Bible. But we need to be mature in doing what it says. He says, you guys are nothros. That's not a good word. You guys are slow in the head. You forget. Your hearing is kind of...Not very good. He says, you need milk. But brothers and sisters, we need solid food. We need to dig deeply into the Bible. We need to grow in our knowledge of the gospel. You know, I know some people, they've been having quiet times for 25 years.Some people have been having quiet times for 25 years. But I wonder what they're doing with their quiet times. What are you learning? By now, you should know the whole Bible. So let's have a little quiz. What is the theme of the book of Hosea?
หนังสือโฮเซียธีมของหนังสือเรื่องนี้คืออะไร
If you've been a Christian for 10 years and can't answer that question
ถ้าคุณเป็นคริสเตียนมา10ปีแล้วก
็ That's embarrassing
คุณยังไม่รู้ตอบน่าอาย
You're like a child
คุณยังเป็นเหมือนเด็กอยู
่ You're nothros
ก็คือว่าภาษาอังกฤษนะ nothros
Not paying attention
ก็คือว่ายังไม่เอาใจใส่
So let's see, who knows the answer to that question? What is the theme of the book of Hosea? Surely you know by now. That's not a good sign. Okay, he says husband and wife relationship. That's close.
The
theme of Hosea is the grace of God. That God will do anything to bring us back. Just like Hosea went and back to his wife, even though she was living as a prostitute. All right, how about the book of Amos? All right, you get the idea, right? Brothers and sisters, we need to grow up in our faith. You can't rely on the preacher as your source of knowledge. And he's not just talking about maturing in our knowledge of God, but also maturity in practicing Christianity. He says we need to become familiar with righteousness. We need to learn to tell the difference between what's good and what's best. So let's take that exhortation, brothers and sisters. Let's take that encouragement. Now, can I go another 10, 15 minutes? Is that okay? All right, 10 or 15 minutes. Because if we get through chapter 7, that means we're over halfway. You guys are amazing. We're already in Hebrews chapter 6. That's pretty good. So then he gives a solemn warning. You know, many churches teach that you can't lose your salvation. Well, they mustn't have read the book of Hebrews then. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6, verse
4 through 6.
So he says we could lose everything. This is cause for concern. Who's he talking to? Those who have been enlightened. I don't know what the word is. Enlightened, verse 4. Verse 4. Enlightened. Those who have been enlightened. The first phrase of... Yeah, in the early church, when they said enlightened, they meant baptized. Trust me, if you study church history. It says, if you've been baptized, if you've tasted the heavenly gift of salvation, if you've shared the Holy Spirit and experienced the coming age, if you're in the kingdom of God, now who's he talking about? Well, Christians, obviously. He says, if you fall away, it's impossible to come back. Did you hear that? If you fall away, it's impossible to come back. Now, do we have any theologians in the audience? Can you tell me what the word impossible means? It means not possible. It won't happen. If you fall away, you can't come back. Peter said, it's like a dog returning to its vomit.
็คือว่าสุนัขนั้นกลับไปกินของที่มันอ้วกออกมา
If you fall away
ถ้าคุณหันหลังกลับ
You're worse than you were at the beginning
ก็คือว่าคุณแย่มากกว่าตอนเริ่มต้นสิ
Because before you were baptized
เพราะว่าก่อนที่คุณบัพติศมา
You have hope
คุณยังมีความหวัง
But if you're baptized
แล้วคุณบัพติศมา
If you receive the Holy Spirit
แล้วคุณได้รับพระวิญญาณบริสุทธิ
์ And then you lose your salvation
แล้วคุณสูญเสียความรอดของคุณ
You don't get baptized the second time.
คุณก็จะไม่บัพติศมาครั้งที่สอง
Did we get your attention here?
ทำให้ตอนนี้ทำให้คุณสนใจมากขึ้นหรือยังครับ
Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10.
ให้คุณกลับไปในให้ไปที่หนังสือฮีบรูบทที่สิบ
He's going to explain it a little bit more thoroughly here.
มากขึ้นครับในบทนี
้ Hebrews 10:26.
ฮีบรูบทที่สิบข้อที่ยี่สิบหก
through 31.
เมื่อเราได้รับความรู้เรื่องความจริงแล้วแต่เรายังคืนทำผิดอีกเครื่องบูชาลบบาปนั้นก็จะไม่เหลือเลยแต่จะมีความหวาดกลัวในการรอคอยการพิพากษาโทษและไฟอันร้ายแรงซึ่งจะเผาผลาญบรรดาคนที่เป็นปฏิบัติต่อพระเจ้าคนที่ได้ฝ่าฝืนบัญญัติของโมเสสนั้นถ้ามีพยานสักสองสามปากก็ต้องตายโดยปราศจากความเมตตาท่านทั้งหลายคิดดูสิว่าคนที่เหยียบย่ำพระบุตรของพระเจ้าและดูหมิ่นพระโลหิตผ่านพระสัญญาซึ่งชำระขอให้บริสุทธิ์ว่าเป็นสิ่งที่ชั่วช้าและกัดถึงพระวิญญาณผู้ทรงพระคุณนั้นควรจะถูกลงโทษมากที่กว่าคนเหล่านั้นสักเท่าใดเพราะเรารู้จักพระองค์ผู้ได้ตรัสแก่ตรัสว่าการแก้แค้นเป็นของเราเราจะตอบสนองและได้ตรัสอีกว่าองค์ผู้เจ้าจะทรงพิพากษาชนชาติของพระองค์การตกอยู่ในอุ้มพระหัตถ์ของพระเจ้าผู้ทรงพระชนนั้นเป็นที่น่าหวาดกลัว
I believe this is the most serious passage in the entire New Testament.
ก็คือว่าผมเชื่อว่านี่เป็นข้อความที่น่าเป็นข้อความที่จริงจังที่สุดเลยในส่วนนี
้ The most serious warning
ก็คือว่าการ warning ที่จริงจังเอาจริงเอาจริงเอาจริงเอาจังมากที่สุดเลย
He says if you continually and willfully sin
ถ้าคุณแบบตั้งใจและดำเนินชีวิตอยู่ในบาปต่อไป
At some point
ถึงจุดหนึ่ง
And I don't know at what point
แต่ผมไม่รู้จุดนั้นหมายถึง
But he says, you're trampling on the blood of Jesus. You're insulting the Spirit. Every time we sin, the Holy Spirit is in us and is observing and experiencing that. And he says, like in the Old Testament, if they sinned,And there were two or three witnesses. There was judgment for that. Says, how much more would God judge us who have the Holy Spirit living in us? Now I have some good news. God is amazingly patient. I mean, he'll put up with a lot.I believe it's actually hard to fall away. I mean, how many of you have deliberately sinned at least once since you were Christian? But you're still here. I know you haven't fallen away. You know how I know that? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 6,If you fall away, it's impossible to come back to repentance. And you're still repenting, right? All right, you're still okay. Now remember, this is a very strong warning. But it's written to encourage us.
แต่ว่าเขียนไว้เพื่อให้กำลังใจเรา
Not to live in fear every moment
ก็คือไม่ให้คุณดำเนินชีวิตอยู่ด้วยความกลัว
But to say I'm not going to go in that direction
ก็คือว่าอย่าไปทางนั้น
So somebody says did such and such brother fall away
ก็คือว่าบางคนบอกคนนี้บางท่านคนนี้หันหลังกลับ
Well they're coming back
แต่เขากลับมา
And they're repenting
แล้วเขากลับใจใหม
่ So I guess they didn't fall away
ก็คือผมก็บอกเขาไม่หันหลังกลับ
Maybe they were unfaithful
ก็คือว่าเขา
We're not the judge anyway, right? Only God knows. You don't have a little letter on your forehead that says Holy HS, Holy Spirit. It's not like that.
Holy Spirit.
But this is a warning. If you willfully sin, if you say to God, I don't care if it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway, then you could lose your salvation. In the Old Testament, they had many sacrifices, yes? But there was no sacrifice for willful sin. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 4. It's like, you know, it's like a child. You know, when you say to your child, you say, don't do that, right? And they look you right in the eye. You say, don't spill that thing. And they look you in the eye, and they do this. That's willful, right? And that kind of sin in the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice. So brothers and sisters, be careful of willful sin. And again, I believe God is patient beyond our ability to understand patience. But at some point, we insult the Spirit, and He leaves us. And when the Spirit leaves, He doesn't come back. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 6. Almost done. Now, the last part of Hebrews 6, to me, is the most encouraging part. So he says, if you fall away, it's impossible to come back. But then he says, I'm confident that is not the case with you. Verse 9, Hebrews 6, verse
9.
So chapter 6, starting in verse 13, or really starting in verse
9,
he says, I'm confident of you. Maybe you're a little dull in the head. But I'm confident that you will do the things that come with salvation. And he says, God has given a promise. God said, I swear. Why would God say, I swear? Wouldn't it be enough for God to just say, you know, so, just say it? But God made a promise. Let's read verse 13 through verse 20.
เมื่อพระเจ้าได้ทรงสัญญาไว้กับอับราฮัมนั้นโดยเหตุที่ไม่มีใครใหญ่กว่าพระองค์ที่พระองค์ทรงอ้างในนั้นพระองค์ก็ได้ทรงอ้างพระองค์เองคือตรัสว่าเราจะอำนวยพรเราจะอำนวยพรเจ้าเป็นแน่เราจะให้เผ่าพันธุ์ของเจ้าทวีมากขึ้นเช่นนั้นแหละเมื่ออับราฮัมได้ทนคอยด้วยความเพียรแล้วหากท่านก็ได้รับพระพรตามพระสัญญานั้นส่วนมนุษย์นั้นต้องสาบานต่อหน้าผู้ที่เป็นใหญ่กว่าตนแล้วเมื่อเกิดข้อทุ่มเทียนอะไรกันขึ้นก็ต้องถือคำสาบานนั้นเป็นคำยืนยันนั้นเด็ดขาดฉะนั้นเมื่อพระเจ้าประสงค์จะแสดงให้บรรดาผู้ที่ได้รับพระสัญญาเป็นมรดกรู้แน่ยิ่งขึ้นว่าพระบัญญัติของพระองค์นั้นจะไม่เปลี่ยนแปลงพระองค์ได้ทรงยืนยันพระสัญญานั้นด้วยคำสาบานเพื่อว่าโดยสองประการที่เปลี่ยนแปลงไม่ได้พระเจ้าจะไม่กลับมุสาเราผู้ที่ได้หนีไปยึดความหวังซึ่งมีอยู่ตรงหน้าเราจึงได้รับการชูใจอย่างมากไปความหวังที่เราได้ยึดนั้นเป็นเสมือนสมองที่แน่และมั่นคงของจิตใจความหวังนั้นที่นำไปสู่อภิสุทธิสถานข้างหลังมากการ ที่พระเยซูผู้ทรงนำหน้าได้เสด็จเข้าไปก่อนเพื่อเราแล้วเพราะพระองค์ได้ทรงรับการแต่งตั้งเป็นมหาปุโรหิตเป็นนิจตามแบบอย่างเมลคีเซเลกัน
So he says, it's like with Abraham. God said to Abraham, I swear, you have children like the grains of sand and like the stars of the sky. And look, they're right here. By faith, we are children of Abraham. And if God swears it's going to happen,It's going to happen. I don't know, in America, when you are in a court, we say, I tell the truth. So help me, God. But God is saying, I tell you the truth. So help me, me. I don't know if that's going to translate. So help me, me. That joke did not translate. I apologize. If you speak English, you got the joke. If not, I apologize. So he says, there's an anchor. An anchor, like in a ship. It's like the curtain. You know the curtain in the sanctuary? The curtain in the tabernacle? That curtain was the separation between us and God. But there's an anchor behind the curtain. And the anchor is Jesus. If you hold on to Jesus, you have an anchor in heaven. And that anchor will never move. That's the purpose of an anchor. The purpose of an anchor is so the ship will not move. And Jesus is our anchor. And God swears to you that if you hold on to Jesus, you will never be moved. Your home is in heaven. You're going to inherit everything with Jesus Christ. We have this hope, firm and secure. It's behind the curtain. It's in heaven, in the heavenly tabernacle. He says, now I'm going to talk about Melchizedek. But I'm going to skip Melchizedek. It's my favorite part in the whole book of Hebrews. So I'm making a big sacrifice. I'm not going to talk about Melchizedek. Even though that's my favorite part. Oh, there's all this great stuff about Melchizedek. Jesus is a priest like Melchizedek. He was a priest not by being born into the right family. But because of his own righteousness. And he was selected by God. You know, Melchizedek was the king of Salem. In Hebrew, it's Shalom. Shalom. Which means peace. Melchizedek was the king of peace. Literally, he was the king of peace. And Jesus is the king of peace. But I'm going to skip all that. So I'm skipping about four slides. Now give me about 3 more minutes to explain Hebrews 8 through 10 just a little bit. Because remember, we already saw that Jesus is greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the priesthood of Aaron. He's greater even than Melchizedek. And also in Hebrews chapter 7, he's greater than Abraham. Now in Hebrews 8 through 10, it says the covenant that Jesus established is better than the Jewish covenant. Covenant, agreement, I don't know. Like the new covenant. That's Hebrews chapter 8. And Hebrews chapter
9.
The tabernacle that Jesus lives in is much better than the tabernacle in Jerusalem. And in Hebrews 9 and 10, the sacrifices that Jesus made are much better than the sacrifices the Jews made. So we'll see you tomorrow night. We got through chapter 7. Pretty good.